It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. How you doing, gang? It is Sunday evening, about 8:06 p.m. This is the Sit Down. What is this, like episode 9, episode 10? How's everybody doing? We are about 24 hours removed from the Royal Rumble. And this morning, I got up and I was a little nervous because we had a pretty big snowstorm here on Friday into Saturday. And yesterday was the Royal Rumble. I didn't go out. I said, I'll shove the snow Sunday morning. Last night, right before we went off the air with the Royal Rumble recap, I said, I'm not looking forward to Sunday because all that snow is going to freeze. And lo and behold, and this happens, thank God it did. Because of the extreme winds that we had in Queens, New York, all of the snow blew to one side. So basically what ended up happening was all the snow that would have accumulated on my car got blown down the parking lot. I didn't have to shovel. I literally didn't have to do anything. I turned my car on, I backed up, and I left. So it was pretty awesome. I'm sure all of you that lived in Queens, New York, or anywhere that had extreme winds probably had the same thing happen to you. You know, I'm sure other people will say, oh, yeah, I shoveled. You know, but in all actuality, no shoveling. Thank God, because I really didn't feel like shoveling my parents' house today either. So big shout out to everybody who is live right now. Obviously, I'm going to hang out with all of you in the chat. And, you know, we rotate every other week. That seems to be the way to go. Last week we took calls. Beautiful. Loved it. So we rotate every other week. So last week was calls. Tonight is chat. Next week is calls. The week after is chat. So I am going to just, you see me looking this way, that's because I'm checking out the chat. And Steve Joseph, much love, my brother. I wish you would have tuned into yesterday's Royal Rumble recap because I got into Big E moving to SmackDown pretty detailed. Out of respect to you, I will repeat some of it right now. Big E officially moved to SmackDown. Not trying to put you on the spot. By the way, I'm enjoying some Japanese coffee. Do you know how he ended up on Raw? Now, I'm not talking about the draft. You know how he ended up on Raw? He won the Money in the Bank briefcase. He was a SmackDown wrestler. He cashed in the briefcase and defeated Bobby Lashley for the championship. That's how he ended up on Raw. So him being back on SmackDown, the reason why he's there right now is because Xavier Woods is injured. And they want Kofi to have a tag partner to feud with Corbin and Madcap Moss. So Kofi, you know, not too many partners he could choose from. So Big E, because of the circumstances, the road to WrestleMania, all the buzz around Brock Lesnar and now Ronda Rousey and, you know, Roman Reigns. All right, look, just like Drew McIntyre, Big E, you know, we're sorry we had to change plans, but don't worry. Don't worry. You know, Big E is part of what some consider the greatest faction of all time. Big E is not getting de-pushed. Big E is not getting jobbed out. Big E is doing what is best for business, doing what's best for WWE. It's not a black thing, a white thing, a straight gay thing. It's a business thing. And that's what happens in the world of sports entertainment. Big E could still win Elimination Chamber. can still challenge Bobby Lashley for the championship. By that time, Xavier Woods should be back from injury. And he could go back to SmackDown, team up with Kofi. Big E could go back to Raw. And all is hunky-dory. I think, you know, people that, I'm not saying you don't, but people that just don't give a shit about WWE, you know, what do you care if the roster split is lagging a little bit? I mean, come on. We know World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, I think that's still a corporation, they run the whole thing. They know the split rosters is a storyline. There isn't two different corporations. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are not really general managers. They're playing characters on television. So if WWE is going to relax it for our entertainment enjoyment, how do you criticize that? Seriously, how do you criticize that? There's no excuse for it. That's how I look at it. You know, I made an analogy yesterday. Hopefully that answered Steve. And anybody that didn't check out the recap, yes, I hope that answered a little bit about Big E and SmackDown. And you know what? That is worthy. That is definitely worthy for a timestamp later. I just put Big 7. I don't know if you can see that. I have no notes today. You are the ones that are going to make this show tonight, as we always do with the sit-down. And we do similar on Thursday nights. Thursday's a little different format. And yes, for the John and Jimmy that talked about Dr. Johnny Fever dying today at the age of 81, I will definitely get into that in a few minutes. Absolutely. One fool says moving Big E to SmackDown makes no sense. What do you mean it makes no sense? Who do you want Kofi to team up with? Ricochet? Mansoor? New Day? Giving a little bit of a rub to Corbin and Moss. I don't like Corbin and Moss, but this is what WWE wants to do. So Big E is helping his brother. Big E is helping WWE. Big E will be rewarded again. Chad says, since Brock won and he is on SmackDown, he thinks they should give the chamber to Raw, so no Big E. No. The elimination chamber. See, here's the thing, okay? You're actually making a valid point, but here's the thing. We don't know for sure who, or let me say it like this. We don't know yet if WWE is going to announce this early that Roman Reigns is going to take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I mean, it's all but obvious. It's all but obvious. But, you know, not for nothing. Brock Lesnar just lost the championship to Bobby Lashley. In storyline, wouldn't Brock Lesnar want a rematch? Wouldn't he want his championship back? So Brock Lesnar, if I was WWE, you tease this for a couple of weeks. Brock, hey, I could choose Roman Reigns. He screwed me out of the title yesterday. Then you have MVP and Bobby Lashley come out, and you give a little bit of incentive. You know, maybe I want a rematch with Bobby Lashley. You know, Saudi Arabia is only, what, 3 weeks from now? 2 weeks? No, about 3 weeks. So they could tease that for 2 or 3 weeks. That's what I would do. So going into Elimination Chamber, if Brock Lesnar doesn't give his answer who he's going to face, you go into Elimination Chamber and it's filled with all different stars and a winner gets the person of his choosing. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's a little less than 3 weeks. So I would milk it, man. I would milk it. I mean, look, we all know it's going to be Brock versus Roman Reigns. I mean, that is the money match. But you still tease it, in my opinion. Still tease it. You know, yesterday when we were talking about various wrestlers that did not show, and my God, you go back and you look at YouTube for the last week especially, all that clickbait about Paige, all that clickbait about various wrestlers. You know, two things that we didn't even think about yesterday. Number one, Finn Balor was not in the Royal Rumble. Finn Balor was given time to go overseas. I don't know if it was as an ambassador for WWE or if he went home with to family, you know, he will be back momentarily. But nobody, including me, thought of Finn Balor yesterday. Yeah, a lot of clickbait about Trish. Absolutely, Hustle. A lot of clickbait. You know, you go back, you look at that week. I mean, you know, I have people, trust me, I have people sending me emails all the time. DT, you gotta talk about these topics because everybody will click on it. You know, oh, you know, you like that WrestleMania crap. Oh, the top five possible entrants in the Royal Rumble. And all five, not one of them ended up in the Royal Rumble. They didn't even, because Ronda Rousey was pretty much a given. It wasn't even on that list. And it's like, you should just do that. You know, if, what if, what if? I'm not interested. I don't have enough time. Not interested. Well, we didn't think Nia Jax was going to be in there. We talked about that last Sunday. You know, I don't know if even Nia Jax wanted to be in there. Alexa Bliss didn't make sense being in the Rumble because they're still doing the, you know, her road back to WWE. You know, we didn't get Veer, which I think in hindsight was probably a good thing. But here's another. Here's another. We didn't even think about it yesterday. I didn't either. No NXT stars. Zero. No Tommaso Ciampa. No Pete Dunne. We pretty much figured there's no chance Roderick Strong was going to be in the Rumble. But no NXT stars at all. None. And interesting. Interesting. Not even one. So, just a few thoughts. Asuka is not ready to return yet. Bayley is not ready to return yet. And you know what? I'm actually kind of happy that Paige was not in there. Because if Paige can return in some capacity, I don't think I want to see her return, get eliminated, and then it feels like a WWE legend, you know, like one of the stars from yesteryear, because today everybody forgets about Molly, everybody forgets about Summer Rae, everybody forgets about some of the others. I don't know what's going to happen with Lita. So, you know, with Paige, it might have, you know, looked that way too. So I think once, if Paige is able to return, once she's on TV, you don't take her off TV. And right now, with all the storylines going on, I don't know where she fits in. So, kind of glad Paige wasn't in it yesterday. Michael is asking me, do I want Ronda to face Becky or Charlotte? Go on my channel and just type in Ronda Rousey in the title. I've been talking about Ronda Rousey for 3 or 4 weeks already. And there's only one opponent that, I mean, look at the last Monday's thumbnail, when I put predictions and I put a couple of four match scenarios, Ronda versus Charlotte is the money match. You know what's funny? You remember a couple of years ago when it was Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch and the episodes are there and I said, they got to put Charlotte Flair in there. And I think I was still doing DTKC show at the time. And I remember my co-host saying to me, why Charlotte? And most everybody's like, oh, we don't want Charlotte in that match. And I said, you need Charlotte in that match. Ronda Rousey, as great as she was at the time and how she was doing, she gets injured. She gets a brain fart. You know, WrestleMania is a lot of pressure. These people are human. You know, something gets a little bit of a snag. Charlotte, the veteran, you know, the top talent in the company, Becky, who was number one at the time, they could take over. And Ronda could take a breather. She can basically get. And I said for probably 2 months, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte. And that's what we got. Now, obviously, the ending still sucked. But Ronda versus Charlotte is the match. That's the money match. Becky Lynch, when she loses, and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, it's got to mean something really, really big. That's why Becky keeps bringing up, nobody's beaten me in 3 years. The person that's going to do it is going to be somebody that is going to be the landscape, the future, the focus of WWE. And even though Ronda Rousey is the biggest name, we don't know how long a contract is going to be. Might just be 6 months for all we know. And Bianca Belair is the woman to beat Becky Lynch for that championship. Charlotte, it's not about having a title or not having a title. It's fans wanting to see Ronda beat the living shit out of Charlotte. Remember that match a couple of years ago? All those Singapore cane shots? That was one of my favorite matches at, you know, for that year. Lord knows what they may do to I don't think they'll go to that aspect, but this year, oh man. Becky versus Bianca, Charlotte versus Ronda. That is your two money matches. So, hey, shout out to Lee, RCWR show. Do I agree it would have made sense to have Mickey at least come down to the final four or five? I didn't really think about it all that much. You know, I mean, you know, it, look, she got a nice appearance, nice run. As I said yesterday, you know, this was a little bit of closure for Mickie James. You know, basically, she got that, you know, chance to say goodbye for now. But I look, I mean, it's not a storyline that WWE would want. Why would they want the announcers to get down to the final four or final five and the announcers are talking about Mickey's not even a member of this roster? That's not a storyline that WWE likes to do. You know, the Forbidden Door stuff, as we said yesterday, I don't even know if WWE's going to knock on that Forbidden Door again. You know, it's going to be interesting if Mickie James in the next, I guess 3 months. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to happen before WrestleMania, but, you know, 3-4 months from now, 4 months. Yeah, 4 months from now. If Mickie was the only outsider to do anything on WWE television, WWE's Forbidden Door was really bullshit, to say at least, say the least. So, wow, did anybody tune into my recap yesterday? Seriously. I mean, look, it was late. And honestly, I don't blame a lot of you out there for falling asleep early because of this Royal Rumble. But Mike is saying, what happened with Sasha at the Royal Rumble? She's not 100% yet. She's not 100%. So they had her go in early. If you look closely, there was a lot of gaga with her and Melina. There was a lot of gaga with her and I don't remember who it was. But, you know, she did a little bit. WWE doesn't want to re-aggravate the injury. And she got eliminated by Queen Zelina, if I remember correctly. So, oh, you don't have to explain why you didn't tune in yesterday. It's all good. I'm just joking. I mean, it's, you know, I just don't want to, you know, do rinse and repeat tonight. But she's not 100% yet. She's not 100% yet. Hustle said Dana Brooke looked hot yesterday. You know, look, they finally found the little spot. Did you see the controversy with Reggie earlier? I'll tell you the controversy with Reggie a little earlier. Now, I could understand why people would think something was up. Reggie went on Twitter this morning and wrote, thank you, WWE. Not, oh, thank you. No, thank you, WWE. And that sparked a firestorm. Don't tell me they released you. Don't tell me to release you. And people thought he got released. Thank you, WWE. And Reggie, good for him, tried to clear it up almost immediately, but you see what happens on Twitter. Somebody will clear up something, and most people don't even read it. So Reggie, early on, says, no, I was thanking WWE for allowing me to be on the Royal Rumble in St. Louis. I guess that's maybe his hometown. That's all it was. So even though he cleared it up, like 6 hours later, 90% of the responses, don't tell me they released you. WWE, oh, budget cuts? They didn't even bother reading what he said. They just, so. But it was funny earlier because you know my thoughts on Reggie. It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. But I was very, very curious to see, you know, was he in fact released? But then he spoiled it for me because I read down a couple of notches down and he's like, no, I was just thanking him. Now, you know, yes, he did it publicly because he wanted the world to know. But as far as I know, WWE is not a living creature. So I don't, you know, he probably should have just contacted Vince or somebody personally and is like, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, he cleared it up like 20 minutes later, or so he thought. Because even probably as of this moment, he still is getting those tweets. Bro, you didn't get released, did you? By the way, I got little keto cookies here. I know people are going to be like, you're eating on the show? Very rare. I have not eaten since I had breakfast this morning. You saw the little video online about the breakfast. I'll be honest with you, though. I don't feel comfortable chewing on the show. So you will not see me eat for the rest of the show. I could wait the hour. Supersonic is asking, where will Asuka go being on the road to WrestleMania? I don't know. We don't know. I mean, the two main matches are set. My honest opinion, I wish they would bring... Oh, what about the clickbait about Kairi Sane? Didn't somebody report that Kairi Sane was in St. Louis? Somebody did report that yesterday. They quietly deleted it. I think there's a website where you could actually find tweet and deletes. There was a lot of clickbait about Kairi Sane. Lee is saying, could be worse. I could have someone mad at me for swallowing between sentences and clearing my throat. No, we're not going there. We're not going there. You know, I always think, you know, people are going to take their time to tune in to your stuff. You want to give them 1,000%. You know, you want to, you know, and yeah, there's a lot of shows out there. The best. And honestly, this never happened on my shows. No matter who my co-host was over the years, it never happened on my shows. And I'm sorry, I'm warning in advance, little disgusting, you know, coming, but I don't ever recall if when someone had a cold on the show. I don't recall anybody talking about, yeah, and John Cena, you're like going with the mucus. So thank God, because if you really go, excuse me for a minute. That was all fake, by the way. Yeah, I am with you, Steph. Why wasn't Xia Li in the Royal Rumble yesterday? Seriously. I mean, maybe they just wanted Natty to be the... By the way, oh, well, actually, I think Aaliyah was eliminated before Natty got in the match, right? Because I don't really remember Aaliyah and Natty going at it a little bit. You know what would have been great, but it would have been too hard to time it? It would have been great if Aaliyah got eliminated in 3 minutes and 17 seconds. But Xia Li, you know, it would have been nice to see her in the Rumble yesterday. But when you look at the legends that were brought in, or the stars from yesteryear, you know, somebody pointed out the other day, when WWE signs wrestlers from the past to, you know, contracts like ambassadors, it's called a legends deal. No matter who it is, it's called a legends deal. So I don't know why people got so triggered about Summer Rae. But you look at everybody who came back yesterday, you know, and this is why, look, I said a couple of weeks ago that WWE really did a good job setting up this Women's Royal Rumble because everybody in that Rumble had a foe. Everybody had some foe in that Royal Rumble. And when it comes to, like, Xia Li, she could have gone up against Natty. And then they could have had Aaliyah go up against Natty. But they decided to have it focused on Natty and Summer Rae. Ivory, yeah, Ivory's probably... Well, Ivory actually had a gripe with the entire women's roster. Ivory looks awesome for 60. You know, I was, you know, it was very late yesterday. Probably the comment I said yesterday, you know, after thinking about it, I don't know if I would, you know, you know you're getting old when you actually consider that you would actually hit a 60-year-old. Yeah, I'd tap that. But she looked pretty damn good yesterday. I don't know if she looked older 20 years ago or she looked younger yesterday, because you look at those pictures side by side, you're like, oh my God, either it's amazing how she has not aged, or a fucking makeup artist backstage MVP. And I kind of trend towards Ivory just looks awesome for her age. Lita's got to be, what, 44, around there? Or 42? She's in her 40s. I would say somewhere around 44. So Google it. You'll get the answer. Google it. Yeah, they mentioned Summer Rae yesterday as a legend, you know, to troll people. Again, you know, look... And this was the point I made on that video. Summer Rae's not a legend. She knows she's not a legend. But, you know, where is the decency or the respect? And look, since I'm a heterosexual guy, that's why I always call out heterosexual males. But, you know, you would just think that, you know, you're a guy, you know, try to be a little classy, you know, to just put her down, like, you're not a legend. You're not a legend. The fuck? You're not a legend. It's like, man, you must love fucking the empty toilet paper roll. You know, not saying that they have any chance of getting laid by Summer Rae. It's just like, if that's how you behave and think, and that's what makes you feel good and gets you, and you want hits from that, you know, something tells me when if you go on a blind date, something tells me there's not going to be a second one. Alicia Fox, not a legend either. I agree. You know, look, as I have always said, Twitter is an extension of yourself. Yes, wrestlers use it to advance storyline. AEW does it. WWE does it. When wrestlers first started doing that years ago, I hated it. I hated seeing storylines advanced through Twitter, because Twitter, I was always under the impression that, you know, if you're a fictitious person on Twitter, you know, I thought that was not allowed, so to speak. You know what I mean? I mean, sure, there's a Twitter account for Kermit the Frog. Hey, old Kermit the Frog, follow me on Twitter. Yay! You know, of course, we got Twitter accounts for, it's like businesses, but, you know, to advance storylines, I never liked it. Now I'm used to it. But, you know, to see some of these people, Twitter's supposed to be an extension of ourselves. It should not be, you know, like sometimes you go to the gym to release tension. Oh, I can't wait to go to the gym, release tension. I feel so much better afterwards. I've had a stressful week. I can't wait to go to the gym. Or some people, oh, I'm so stressed. I can't wait to just have a drink or just get out of the house, go for a long drive. You know, it shouldn't be, oh, wow, you know, I'm so stressed. I get to go on Twitter and be an asshole. You know, I just don't understand why people would, like, look forward to just being an asshole towards Summer Rae. I mean, you know, I thought it was ridiculous, in my opinion. Shout out to Chris Broussard. Thank you very much, my friend. Oh, yeah, Kermit voice. Yeah, that is an oldie. I used to do all the Muppets. I did one back, God, I must have been in like high school, and I did an X-rated Muppets with like Miss Piggy and Kermit. Like, oh, Kermit, what did you doing, Kermit? Oh, I say, I can't do it anymore. My voice has gotten deeper. But back, you know, in the 80s, early 90s,
oh, Miss Piggy.
Yep, I can't do it. I used to be able to do Fozzie. I can't do Fozzie anymore. See, you always heard it in the early years of the hotlines because you never saw me. But in all actuality, when I do Fozzie Bear, I have to extend my throat, look up in the eye. I can't do it from here. I have to actually go like this. Waka, 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 waka. I can't do it anymore. So there's some impersonations I can't do anymore. But I could still do a few others. I've never done Captain Lenny. Never impersonated Captain Lenny. It blew me away that Jim Cornette knows who Captain Lenny is. Somebody sent me a timestamp from one of their podcasts from a couple of months ago, and Brian Lance brought up Captain Lenny. He's like, you remember Captain Lenny? And Jim Cornette's like, sure, I remember Captain Lenny. I'm like, holy shit. I can't believe they know him. This guy tried to sue me. I'm sitting in a bar, and we're trying to get Captain Lenny to whack off in his house. Captain Lenny would call me, hey, I'm going to the bathhouse. You know, and what do you think they do in the bathhouse? You know? And these guys, oh, I could do, I did Hank Hill on the Patreon show, but I have to really, I haven't done it in years. I can't do it. I have to hear the voice first, and then I can do it. Trust me. Hank Hill was probably one of the greatest ones that I used to be able to do. So, but yeah, we did that on Patreon. So I think it was last week's Patreon. I don't think it was this past week, but I started doing it and it sounded great. And I was like, oh shit, I haven't done that in a long time. So I used to be able to do Beavis and Butthead, but I don't know what the hell happened. I can't do it. It's almost like, what's his face? You know, the one that created it. He can't do Beavis anymore. He can still do a good Butthead, but when they came back, when they were doing the Jersey Shore video segments instead of music videos, you know, Beavis just didn't sound right anymore. I can't remember his name right now. And that's sacrilegious, the fact that I can't remember the creator. Oh, my God. The hell was it? Come on, somebody bail me out. Mike Judge. Thank you very much, Gordon. Mike Judge. Gordon Post. You know what? I got a segue. From Gordon Post to Gordon Jump. Yeah. I have to spend 2 minutes about this, and I promise you this will segue into a fun conversation. Look, 81 years old. You know, nice, ripe age. I mean, when people are right in there devastated, I mean, if you were friends with the guy, I could understand it. But I'm reading people on Twitter, like, I'm devastated learning the news that Howard Hessman passed away at 81. Devastated? I want to live to be 61. You know, devastated that somebody lives there. God bless him. For those that don't know, Dr. Johnny Fever died today at the age of 81. Any of you that go back to me with me on my hotlines, not a joke. If I had a dollar every time I brought up WKRP over the years, I'd have a nice chunk of change right now. No joke. Seriously, check this out. Box set, volume one. Box set, volume two, and the new WKRP in Cincinnati. This sucked. Now, I know someone out there right now saying, wait a minute, my WKRP doesn't, look, the collector's edition. This is the collector's edition, everyone. There's the collector's edition. Bootlegs. These are bootlegs. I have said this before. My favorite TV series in my collection of all time. You know why I have this? The music. I don't know how many of you ever watched WKRP in Cincinnati. In fact, I got a question. If any of you out there that were attracted to Jennifer or Bailey Quarters, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I think this would be a fun little poll for tonight. And I'm almost tempted. I know there's a way of putting a poll. Yeah, shit. Too bad I can't do it right now. I should have did it before we went live. Oh, maybe I can. All right. Everyone out there, let's just do this, because on the replay, I think people could still. Okay. Pick one WKRP. And then, does anybody remember Jennifer's last name? Jennifer, I don't know what the hell's the last name. It's not Gardner. Bailey Quarters, I think it was. Or do we just put the first names? Anybody remember Jennifer's last name, or should we just put Jennifer or Bailey? Because I think Bailey was Quarters. So I'm waiting for somebody to respond. I'm sure somebody's Googling right now. So let me, I'd rather put the last names, because somebody will read it and say, what are those names of dogs? Jennifer who? I remember it was like an exotic name too. What was it? What was Jennifer's last name? Somebody look that up. Jennifer Smithers? Oh, my God. I used to be able to do Smithers, too, from The Simpsons. All right. There we go. There's the poll. All right. Pick one from WKRP. Jennifer Smithers or Bailey Quarters? For me, it was always Bailey Quarters. I was always a brunette type of person. Always like Bailey Quarters, especially how innocent she tried to look. She didn't have the makeup. She had those giant round glasses. And then they had that one episode where she Johnny Fever stood over her house and she took the glasses off and she took you. And I'm like, oh, God, preteen. Fuck. This is what I get for listening to someone. Now I got to end the fucking poll because somebody guessed. It's Jennifer Marlowe. Whoever said Jennifer Smithers before, all right, we leave it. Fuck it. This is what happens when people, I got to Google this stuff myself from now on. Jennifer Smithers. Trust me, if it was, the more I think about that, shame on me. Because if it was Smithers, I would have been like, hey, Smithers. Unbelievable. People are that lazy, they can't Google it. Jennifer Smithers. Unbelievable. I had a crush on Bailey. Absolutely, man. Well, anyway, Bailey got it 80-20. You could put it in the comment section after, everyone. Seriously. I want to see the comments explode after the show is over. Jennifer or Bailey. So anyway, the reason why I have this and this in this form is because growing up, WKRP was one of my favorite shows to watch. And I loved that they played regular music. And some of the music, it was some of the songs that I liked growing up. And it just seemed like a really cool place to work. A really, you know, it's like it was rock music. There was dance. You had Venus Flytrap. You even had that schmuck that they brought in for a little while. Hey, everybody. Are you having a nice day today? His name wasn't Smithers either. So, long story short, when Amazon 15 years ago, whatever it is. Curly, man, don't apologize, man. I'm just joking around. Seriously, don't apologize. So, good guess, though. It was good enough that I put it on the poll, so don't apologize. When Amazon had WKRP in Cincinnati, DVD. I bought it, I ordered on pre-order, and I talked about it on the hotlines. And I talked about it. It might have even been the podcast. No, it was the podcast. I'm like, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. I get this thing, put it in my DVD player, and it's almost like watching ECW on the WWE Network. Instead of hearing, you know, New Jack coming out to NWA music, you hear boom, boom. And I'm like, what the fuck is this music? Sandman doesn't come out to Sandman. Watch an old WCW on the WWE Network. Instead of hearing that kind of like, what was it, Nirvana ripoff for Diamond Dallas Page, or no, it was Jericho's music, whatever it is, I'm hearing Break the Walls Down. Like, he never used that WCW. So I get the box set, I bring it home, I put it in the DVD, and I hear all his fucking generic music, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's supposed to be Sylvester. That's supposed to be the OJs. That's supposed to be Kiss. And it's not Kiss. I don't know what I'm listening to. And then that's where I learned about how royalties worked with music. So when WKRP became available to buy on VHS or DVD, they had to dub over all the music. Otherwise, they had to pay royalties for a lot of these artists, and they didn't want to do that. So what WKRP did in syndication back in 81, 82, whatever it was, it's almost like what Paul Heyman was doing with ECW before it went out of business. ECW was airing, you know, Guns N' Roses, airing, you know, whoever. You know, and they were getting away with it. They had it on pay-per-view. So, bring in iOffer. Any of you out there that go back with me, look, I've done this for 25 years, but putting that aside, probably one of the greatest things that I ever did for everybody who used to tune in back in the day was to educate you about a website called iOffer.com. To the day I die, one of the greatest websites to have ever existed. It's almost like Ring of Honor right now. It's around in name only. It's dead. For those that don't know what I'm talking about 15 or so years ago, iOffer.com, you go on there, you could buy everyday stuff. You could offer stuff for people. You could have want lists. You could do this. You could do that. You could do this. iOffer.com was the haven of bootlegged video. I have so many bootleg videos inside from iOffer.com still. I was a huge fan of Prince growing up. And I loved all of his work. When I was in art school, I used to draw him. I loved, Prince was my favorite artist. And I went on iOffer, and they had all his bootleg concerts before he even made it famous. And I bought it. And then I'm looking around, and I bought, you know, like every ECW episode. I have it still. It's about 500 DVDs. I bought it for like $99 on iOffer. Somebody had every episode of the original ECW with the original music, $99. Bought it. 500 DVDs. So somebody had this on iOffer for like $49. And what this is somebody, when WKRP came out in the original 80s, recorded the episodes from TV. And I guess from tape trading, somebody got the original episodes in pretty damn good condition with the commercials. And they, as professionally as they possibly could, they edited all the commercials out. And they put this set together, and it has all the original music on it. So I went on iOffer and I paid whatever it was, like $49. And the next thing you know, they send me this. Each one has, there's a lot of DVDs in here. There's probably, I don't know if you could see, you know, the thickness, but there's probably about 10 DVDs in this. So like 20 DVDs of the episodes. They all have the original music. That's the only way I would ever watch it. So my former co-host, you know, I know he was a big fan of WKRP. Ask him. You know, I gave him one of these sets a long time ago, and it had the original music. So I was a huge fan of this show growing up. And when he left and then became the teacher on Head of the Class, the first thing I, you know, noted, the mustache is gone. You know, because they didn't want everybody, oh, Johnny Fever, booger. So they removed the mustache, and I didn't like Head of the Class when it first came out. But no shit, Bailey looks rough now. What is she, like 80 years old also? You know, I don't think any of us look all that spectacular, unless we're like the missing link and we got a whole bunch of face paint. Sting looks incredible at 62. Yeah, take all the makeup off. I mean, he's still in phenomenal shape, and he could still go in the ring, and it's goddamn awesome. But you take all the makeup off, and Sting is, looks like he's 62. Wow, he's old. Yeah, no shit, he's 62. So, Head of the Class, I was not a fan of. I know Robin Givens was on there, and you got that chubby guy that just always annoyed the shit out of me. They had to have the little nerd, you know, and then it grew on me a little bit. But he died today at 81 years old. Last year, Herb Tarlick died. This year, it's Dr. Johnny Fever. You know, and it's sad. I mean, look, we all got to go, obviously. But it's a reminder that a lot of our favorites growing up are starting to pass. And it happens in wrestling as well. I mean, when you look at some... Look, I'm not wishing any demise on Vince McMahon. We talked about it last week. Vince's mom died at 101 years old. I mean, what did anybody think? She was going to live to 110? You know, she was going to go. But Vince is up there in age. Ric Flair is up there in age. There's a lot of wrestlers now in their 70s. And, you know, especially with, you know, the party life and the atmosphere in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. You know, you just think like, you know, 5 years from now, how many people, and it's ridiculous to think, like we would always say, oh, another member, another important part of my childhood is gone. How many times have we said that over the years? An important part of our childhood is gone. Now, you see people passing who from the 90s. And it's like, oh, my God, an important part of my teenage years is gone. An important part of my 20s is gone. So, you know, that's why I always say enjoy your life as much as you can. Enjoy it with the people that make you happy. You know, I mean, I understand it's tempting online to be part of the miserable squad because so many people, you know, just... they gravitate to it because it's a guaranteed club with guaranteed attention. Whine, complain, put shit down, hate this, crap on this. And there is a huge audience. Welcome aboard. Here is 75 hugs for you. That feels good. But in the end, they're still miserable. Like I joked about it last week. You know, we got comedy clubs. You know, hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. You want to go to the comedy club? Yeah, let's go to the comedy club. You know, I had a pretty crappy week. I feel like laughing, get my mind off, have a couple of drinks. You know any places out there? Hey, what are you doing tonight? Nah, I'm not doing nothing. Hey, you want to go to the bitch club? What do you mean you go to the bitch club? Yeah, I had a crappy week. We'll have a couple of drinks, and we could go check out a whole bunch of people on stage bitching about life. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. I don't know too many of those bitch clubs that are around. So, yeah, Jennifer Marlowe was married to Burt Reynolds. That guy got some nice pieces of ass over the years. Yes, Benjamin, Vince's mom passed away about a week ago at the age of 101. So when Bruce Pritchard says that Vince, he thinks he could do it for another 20, 25 years, I know that is trolling. That's definitely Bruce Pritchard trolling. But Vince's family, you know, some of the members of his family live to very, very ripe old ages. And look, I mean, I appreciate any time that Vince is still around. Yes, he's out of touch. Not going to deny it. Vince McMahon is out of touch. I don't let that go simply because he entertained me for so many years. He is out of touch. But what happens if Vince lives to be 100? And he's got, Vince's mom still had all her faculties, you know? And we shouldn't always just say Vince's mom, because 99% of everybody out there said Vince's mom, Vince's mom, Vince's mom. That was Shane and Stephanie's grandma, too. You know, let's remember that. That was the grandmother. So I wish my grandmother was around. My grandmother, the person who got me into wrestling, she died in 1991. You know, I mean, it's already 30 years that she is gone. And, man, I wish you all would have met her. I wish you all. You would have said, wow, one of the coolest fucking, you know, heavyset 60-year-olds you would have ever met. She was awesome. Best way I could describe her, she reminded me of Maud meets Roseanne Barr, probably. You know, kind of like, you know, I never talked about politics. I was too young. But she was like a really brash wrestling fan. She was convinced to the day she died, she thought wrestling was real. Hated Roddy Piper. Loved Hulk Hogan. I always wondered if she still would have been a Hulk Hogan fan after the Hogan Knows Best stuff, after the audio that he got caught on. I don't know if she would have remained a Hulkamaniac, but she was a tremendous Hulkamaniac. Oh, my God. You have no idea. When I say Roseanne Barr, I mean more of like her size. I know a lot of you have seen a picture of her. I don't have it handy right now, but she was awesome. She was awesome. You know, a lot of her kindness. You know, when some people say that, you know, I'm very generous, I'm very kind, that's my grandmother and that's my mom. That's them coming out. When people say, how do you work, do all these shows? Do you ever get sleep? How do you not get burned out? That is my dad. So they rub off on me in different ways. So that's why I say, just enjoy yourself, man. Did you hear today about, I think it was Miss USA from 2019? She committed suicide in New York City. She jumped off her apartment building. And, you know, look, we don't know all the details yet. I know she didn't, apparently she did not leave a suicide note, but there was early buzz that she was getting bullied online. And you're talking about, you know, one of the most beautiful women in the world. And again, you know, that jealousy online, I don't know if that's the case with her, but obviously something drove her to the point of just ending it all. So it's sad, man. Yeah, if you look it up, that happened a couple of hours ago. A couple of hours, literally right before I went live, somebody DM'd me and said, you hear what happened in New York City? I figured it was probably just, you know, like the riots or shit like that. I looked and yeah, it was she killed herself tonight. So, but yeah, so rest in peace, Howard Hessman. You know, speaking of New York, I know majority of you don't live in New York, but I'm going to show you something that is going to give you hope. And I'm dead serious. I'm not trying to be cliche. I'm not trying to be like, you know, dramatic, you know, but I'm going to show you something right now that I really think will give you some hope. Every single one of you out there. That's due to COVID. If anybody has followed my shows since February 2020, almost everything that we've talked about has happened. Back in February 2020, which is 2 years ago, we talked about how one-third of the country doesn't believe in flu shots. And we figured one third of the country is not going to get vaccinated. And pretty much, I mean, everything. But as the last 2 years have gone on, one thing that is honestly, I think, spectacular about this network, our family, all of you out there, is we paid attention to what was going on with COVID. We didn't just read based on tweets. A lot of doctors are shady. A lot of medicinal companies, pharmaceutical companies are making billions off of this. A lot of people that are in hospitals in the United States, a lot of people are starting to think that the hospitals are accepting anybody with COVID because they know the government is reimbursing them. You get somebody that goes to the hospital, I could be 400 pounds and I could have diabetes up the gazoo. I could have all my arteries clogged. I walk in, I breathe, but I have COVID, hospital gets reimbursed by the government. Not even the health insurance. Hospital gets reimbursed from the government. COVID. People are starting to think that the hospitals, it's like Twitter hate. Welcome. So one thing that we've paid very close attention with is Omicron. And when Seth Rollins got it, and then you hear from people 2 days later, he's fine. And like, holy shit. And you start seeing South Africa, where really, you know, it just spiked in the first place, and you see it, and it went up, and it went down. Like this. And all the projections from the people that were not looking to be famous, that were really paying attention to it, they said they thought within a month this Omicron would be almost out of here. Guys, gals, this is not something I made. This is straight from New York State tonight. This is the Omicron numbers for the last 30 days. Back on January 6th, my father's birthday, we had 90,000 cases in New York. New York State, 90,000 cases. Yesterday, we are down to 8,781. Now, I know, look, we've said it. There's a lot of people who have COVID that never went to a public doctor. They just took the at-home test, so we have no idea who those people are. Yes, there's definitely more than 8,000. The point is, in 1 month, the cases are down 90%. This trend is going to happen everywhere else. So, believe me, when I know a lot of you come here to talk about wrestling more than anything else. I know sometimes when we talk about COVID, you know, people just hate hearing it. But, you know, I take pride that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, all we kept talking about is, look, it's going to go up and it's going to go right back down. 1 month, it's down 90%. And that is awesome. That is freaking awesome. So there is hope. There is hope. This virus is going to be around for a few years still. I think we said 2 years ago it was going to be around about 5 years. But it keeps getting weaker and weaker. Now they have the sister of Omicron, the B2 variant. And they're saying that it's even catchier, but it's not as potent, you know. And look, you do what you want if you want to be vaccinated or not. I mean, I get it. You could be fully vaccinated, fully boosted, like Roman Reigns. He was fully vaccinated, fully boosted, and he still got COVID. The difference is there's like, what is it, 37 or 57 times less if you're fully vaccinated, that you have 57 times less likely to end up in a hospital over it. So, you know, I could still get it. You could get it. But for me, as far as the vaccine and the boosters go, at least I know I have something inside that'll fight it a little bit, you know? So yeah, it may not prevent us from not getting it, But if I do get it, you know, hopefully my body kicks its ass as soon as it enters my system. So that's where I think they got it all wrong, everybody. I think they should have said from the beginning, look, these vaccines, no vaccine is 100% guaranteed that you won't get it. But if you, I always use the nightclub analogy, you know, for any, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating something that you've already heard me say. Guys, gals, pretend you could open up a bar. Like Tim White. Remember Tim White, the WWE referee? Tim White used to have his bar. They used to always have the APA brawling it and everything. Okay, you, we could open a bar. You and I, we could open a bar. And wrestlers are going to go there when they're in New York afterwards and party and this and that. You know, maybe we'll have a couple of people dancing and this. We could open a bar. Now we have the bar open. And then, unfortunately, we couldn't get like a really good neighborhood to have the bar in. And next thing you know, you get a whole bunch of low-life pieces of shit. Gangs. Oh, Gang Delta. Shield. No, Gang Delta. Gang Omicron. And they enter our club. And they start fighting each other. They start breaking fucking tables. They start putting people through tables like Brock Lesnar did to that little midget from Jackass. They start fighting. They throwing beer bottles and everything like that. You and I are like, we forgot to hire protection. We forgot to hire bouncers. So we got to just hope that, you know, they just like wear themselves out. I'm tired. Let's leave. Then we got to clean it up. Then after they wrecked the bar, then we're like, okay, now we, you know, we got to hire security. So now we're protected, but we had no security before. To me, that's what happens to people that don't have a vaccination or a booster. So now you have the club, you and I. Okay, the first club we opened, it burned to the ground. The gangs fucked it all up. So now we try again. We go in the time machine. You and I buy a club. And before we open the club, we get a whole bunch of bouncers. They're not perfect. This one is fat. This one is like 3 feet tall. This one is lazy. This person is busy hitting on, you know, people, you know, wherever he or she is attracted to, you know, but hey, we got some security. So now those two gangs, hey, let's go to this club. They walk in the club. Well, guess what? Team antibodies are here. Yeah, you might be able to break a couple of tables. You might be able to break a beer bottle here and there. But our fucking security called antibodies is going to beat the living shit out of you. And before it could do any major damage on the club, they're out of here. To me, that's what the vaccines are. You're not going to stop the assholes from entering your club. But if they decide to fuck around, your security is going to take care of it. That's how I look at it. You know how many people I've used that analogy to outside of these shows in my office and people have gotten the booster? I mean, that's how I always looked at it. Seriously. Like, hey, you know, you bang a whole bunch of people, you know, you don't want to get anybody pregnant, but it's not guaranteed, but it cuts down your odds. You may still get a fucking sexually transmitted disease, even though you're wearing a garbage bag. But it does cut down your chances. So, and my NXT analogy. My NXT analogy. I know a lot of you haven't heard it, but I get a lot of people who DM me and they're like, DT, why do you so supportive of NXT 2.0? Like, why are you so against these people that are, you know, with all the news reports, the bullshit news, WWE's disappointed that fans haven't gravitated more. And I finally figured out how to say it to fit it in a tweet. And this is how I look at NXT 2.0. And I think when I say it like this, some of you may feel the same way and you might be able to come across to others and explain it this way as well. How many of you out there like to cook? Seriously, chat room, how many of you out there do like to cook? You know, you have a date. you know, whatever floats your boat. Guy, 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 girl, 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 guy, you know, guy, girl, girl. That's not a fantasy for me, by the way. Whatever floats your boat. You could have somebody special. You could have mom over the house. Do you like to cook from scratch or do you order from a restaurant? I like to cook. I made her shrimp Alfredo 2 days ago. She fucking complained about the shrimps. They don't taste good. Motherfucker, I spent $25 for a pound of shrimp. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. This way they smell. But I boiled the spaghetti. I made the sauce. I added all my spice. I put it on low steam. And I like preparing a nice meal. Don't always, but I like preparing a nice thought out meal. Some people don't like to cook. Some people would rather just throw a frozen TV dinner in the microwave and eat that. And I totally respect that. Some people may call a restaurant and have it already prepared. That's how I compare NXT 2.0. I like watching Harland go from raw talent that never wrestled to turn in to what could be the next Undertaker, the next Fiend. Not on that level, but I like seeing Carmelo Hayes turning into a superstar. I like seeing Harlan come from scratch. I like seeing Bron Breakker, you know, getting molded and turning. I like seeing the development. It's like cooking from scratch. Not everybody is that patient. They don't want to wait the years and years. No, black and gold, black and gold, black and gold. Triple H is dead. Black and gold, black and gold, black and gold. They're giving him a black and gold. They'd rather, you know what? No, I don't want to wait for Holland to take 3 to 5 years. No. Just go to the store and bring me Adam Cole. You know what? Do me a favor. Go to the frozen food section and give me Keith Lee with potatoes. You know, I agree. WWE fucked up a lot of these wrestlers creatively. I'm not saying that they didn't. But NXT 2.0 has to be the developmental territory of the future. And whether you like it or not, as bad as Tiffany Stratton was her first match, a second match, not so bad. Jade Cargill. A lot of people don't even know this still. But she had a pretty damn good match with Anna Jay. Well, guess what? Bryan Danielson is helping her train. Jade Cargill is not pre-made. Buy it already cooked from a restaurant, from the frozen food section. No. You're taking all the ingredients, putting it together, and you're going to see this masterpiece. Rocky Maivia, you know, maybe, let's see, a famous food from the frozen food section. I don't know. What's a good frozen food with a guy's name on it from the frozen food section? What do we got? Trying to think of a good one. Come on, there's got to be a good one. So Mrs. Paul's. Is Mrs. Paul's? Is Mrs. Paul's okay? All right, Mrs. Paul's. Mrs. Paul's. All right, it's the fish sticks. Isn't that Mrs. Paul's? All right, Paul Newman. Yes, Robert. Shout out to you, my friend. Paul Newman, the whore of groceries. They got popcorn. They got barbecue sauce. They got pizza. He's got everything. You'd think Paul Newman would settle like, hey, I want to be well known for my braised beef. No, he's got to have mayonnaise, he's got to have sugar, he's got to have 1,000 different things. But Paul Newman, all right. You have good food made by Paul Newman. So what happens? You get Rocky Newman. Rocky Newman is now, you know, related to Paul Newman. Oh, it must be good. But it's a brand that might be related to Paul Newman, but it's not something that you really heard before. And it's trying to be developed. trying to turn into something. Maybe it's that fucking GoFundMe thing or whatever, you know, where you invest in it. And then what ends up happening after a couple of years, all right, yeah, now you got the next brand that's as good as Paul Newman. You know, not everybody wants to wait to see these people turn into stars. That's why they keep NXT 2.0 so much under a microscope. They got to be good now. Last Legend? I don't know what's going to happen with Last Legend. But some others who are extremely raw right now, I like watching NXT 2.0 knowing that they are building the stars of tomorrow. A lot of other people out there, no, go to the store and buy me Kyle O'Reilly fish and chips, already cooked. Just reheat and eat. You have somebody in the indie circuit. Give me braised Briscoes. Reheat and eat. That's what a lot of people would rather NXT be. Reheat and eat. Somebody has got to make it from scratch. And that's what WWE is doing with 2.0 right now. And you get these people. You know what you notice? Bet you never thought about it like this. Think I'm kidding? Watch when I say this. Every news outlet out there that reports something negative about NXT 2.0, do you know what they all have in common? They all criticize NXT on social media. You do not find even one news outlet out there that reports negative news about NXT but supports them. Every single news outlet, every single podcaster that reports news, whether real or not, they all have one thing in common. They all hate NXT 2.0. I don't know if you've ever realized that. You won't be able to find one. You won't be able to find one. So when you see somebody write, oh, did you see the latest one yesterday? Oh, by WrestleMania, NXT 2.0 will look like a totally different company. They're going to totally reboot NXT 2.0 by WrestleMania. But they use the cute word, could. It could change. Yeah. And I could die a month from now. And I could fall and break my neck a month from now. You know, I could hit the lottery a month from now. And when it doesn't happen, they'll say, oh, WWE, because they focused on WrestleMania, they put off any changes to NXT. Awful. And people still run with it. Every single person that reports negative news about NXT all dislike the current NXT product. That's what they all have in common. Sean, I said braised Briscoes. You said aged? I like that. Aged Briscoes. I like the Briscoes. But the Briscoes would not fit in with the WWE. You know what would be, trust me, I am not exaggerating when I say this. When I say this, I bet some of you out there are going to be like, holy fucking shit. If WWE brought in the Briscoes, do you know what I could see them using them, like comparing them to? I'm not kidding when I say this. The Bushwhackers. I'm not saying they're going to lick kids' heads, because even if COVID wasn't around, I don't think that's appropriate to do anymore. But if anybody remembers when the Bushwhackers were the sheep herders and WWF brought them in, and all I knew about the sheep herders was what I saw in the magazines, and I saw blood and guts. And then all of a sudden I see them with the vignettes, and I'm like, what the hell am I looking at? And then they're in the arena, hey, yeah, and licking everybody. I'm like, what did I miss? And they ended up being one of the more beloved tag teams of all time. I could see if they ever, well, they wouldn't bring in the Briscoes. If they brought in the Briscoes, they would have to transform them, because the Briscoes ain't going to run roughshod around WWE like the gangsters or some street team ain't happening. Not in 2022 WWE. You know, look, a lot of us are not happy with the WWE product because we were spoiled during the Attitude Era. We were spoiled when they had the greatest rosters of all time in the early to mid 2000s. We're spoiled. We miss it. We want that back. That environment in society is gone. That Girls Gone Wild and other crazy shit in our society, that renegade stuff going against the grain, that's gone. That's gone. You know, Austin, you know, treating his employer, Mr. McMahon, like he did, everybody, you know, just fantasized that they wish they could do that to their own boss. Now in 2021, you don't have Austin 316 is stunning his employer. No, you know what the Austin 316s of the world do right now? They complain on Twitter. My boss is such a jerk. My boss, he did this, he did that. I'm complaining on Twitter. Everybody boycott my boss. Austin be like, fuck you. He just stuns his boss and that's the end of it. That's the difference between the Attitude Era and now. In the Attitude Era, Austin would stun his employer. In 2021, he would tweet about it. Am I wrong? Austin 316 says, I just tweeted your ass. That should be a shirt. Austin 316. See, I used to do Austin. See, if I don't hear Austin's name first, I sound like I'm Jewish. Austin 316 says, Pastor Filtervish. I sound Jewish when I try to do Austin. Yeah, that's a way to get fired. You tweet and you get fired. But are we wrong? Seriously, I don't think we're wrong. That's, somebody's got to tweet that for me. Austin in 1998 would stun Mr. McMahon. Austin in 2021 would tweet about Mr. McMahon. But it's true, man. It's true. We miss those times. And for you younger fans out there that never got to experience that, you know, you still wish there would be some version in some capacity. But again, this is not defending WWE. But, you know, like I got into an argument with somebody yesterday online. It's very hard to really criticize WWE when they get 45,000 people to show up at the Royal Rumble. Their storylines have been shit for years. Yet they still get 45,000 people to show up. Why? Was it, you know, free pick the toy of your choice night? So for the little kids, they get a little hoppity horse. For the teenagers, they get a naked magazine. For the adult goofs that are single, they get a free inflatable doll. Like everybody there, yeah, everybody gets a certain toy. They still got 45,000 people to show up at the Royal Rumble. When they get 4,500, then I could listen to the people out there that tell me WWE is terrible because of this. They suck because of this. It's garbage because of this. It's this because of this. It's like this. It's like that. It's like this and it's like this and that and that and But they're getting 45,000 people anyway. How do you argue that? And that's the thing. This is why a lot of the loud noise out there don't have the balls to confront the Road Dogg. Don't have the balls to confront people who do speak out, spit out facts on social media that used to work for WWE. Because the minute they go head-to-head with someone who understands and is well-respected because they are in the business, they're dead in the water. So they'll talk at you instead of talking with you. Let me say this, 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 and this. And if you don't like it, then don't tune in. I know it was a rap lyric line. That's why I said it that way. It's like this. Like, yeah, I don't remember the exact lyrics. I used to like that rap song when it came out. I always try to do that. If I'm saying something and it says, oh, that kind of sounds like a rap song I used to like, I'll go off track and actually start cutting rap lyrics, right? No, Benjamin, fans shouldn't just get over it. If you are not happy with something, you have a right to express your opinion. You know, just because, you know, a fast food chain is making crazy money and successful, if their French fries now taste like shit because they changed the recipe, you know, you have a right to speak out about it. The problem is, if you keep speaking out about it, and yet the restaurant is filled to capacity and everybody's ordering French fries, maybe you should get French fries from somewhere else. That's why, again, when WWE starts getting 4,500 instead of 45,000, that's when they will take note and make changes accordingly. But until that happens, you know, how do you fight that? How do you argue that? But, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Look, even the political world, there are news organizations out there that talk crazy shit because there's an audience for it and they make money off of it. There is a group out there that absolutely despise WWE and will criticize and find a way to put down everything because there's an audience out there to make money off of it. So, you know, good for them. If you could make money, you know, good for you. Seriously, there's a lot of podcasts out there that I disagree with about 99% of what they say. But I respect and admire just about all of them because they still get people in droves to buy the bullshit. I watched for the last week everything about Paige, from Paige to Kairi Sane. The Kairi Sane stuff yesterday was freaking nuts. I got 3 or 4 emails, which may not sound like a lot, but Kairi Sane is not a topic of conversation all that much. I got 3 or 4 emails where people say, see, told you Kairi Sane was going to be at the Royal Rumble. And they linked me news articles. Kairi Sane seen in St. Louis. Oh, really? Oh, really? Really? I mean, you go out there, you see some people that got 200,000 views. Somebody posted a screenshot, Sasha Banks, which appears to be a hospital bed with oxygen on her. The sad news about Sasha Banks, there's like a couple of 100,000 views. All right, you click on it and you realize this is garbage, this is awful. But then you realize, wait a minute, this motherfucker got 875 likes over it and has 1 million subscribers. God bless that person to literally say, I'm lying to your face. I'm feeding you bullshit. And yet you still pick it. It's like a bad Roadrunner episode. Instead of giving food pellets for the Roadrunner to pick up, you're putting in the street cyanide or pieces of shit, and the Roadrunner keeps picking it up. I'd be like, dumb fuck. So everybody out there that does that, you get an audience, you keep getting them to come back, you deserve every dollar that you make. I'm dead serious. I know some people are very surprised that I say that. Good for them. Good for them that they can just feed bullshit after bullshit after bullshit, and people keep coming back. And the people that lied about everything, especially with the Kairi Sane stuff, you know what's going to happen? Tomorrow they're going to come back with another lie, and everybody's going to still tune in. So, we should start wrapping this up, everybody. We're almost at 90 minutes already. I'm scoping the chat room, see some other topics. And by the way, for everybody tuning in, if you go back and you check out the chat room, I mean, I continue. I see what I do with the chat room, the live audience, is I see what conversations they're having. Like we were talking about earlier with COVID. If I see everybody else moving on to another topic, I end the conversation quickly. But if everybody's into it, even when we were talking about, you know, Austin 316 says, I just tweeted your ass. Everybody's talking about how today's society, how it is. I'll continue that conversation. So I segue based on what everybody is talking about. So by the way, again, thank you everybody who is with me tonight. Why don't I tell extra personal stories about 9/11? Because they're personal. I mean, what am I going to say? I mean, you know, that I thought my ex-girlfriend died in 9/11. You know, I've already told the boat stories to death. My father offered to go down to the towers, and I'm so glad that he didn't, because the last thing I would want is to find out he's got some type of cancer because of 9/11 is, what, 22 years ago? Let it rest. Plus, you know, I think you're probably the only person tuning in that would actually want to hear stuff like that. So, Rolo says these podcasts who always bash Vince will be the biggest crybabies when Vince is gone from this earth. You know what? I think what they'll do is they'll say, look, even though we disagree with a lot of Vince in the latter years, he still gave us, you know, if it wasn't for Vince, pro wrestling would not be what it is. And they'll give all the respectful comments and this and that. You know, they'll be an asshole for about 10, 15 years. And then when Vince dies, they'll be, you know, like, oh, never mind. You know, like, you know, look. Or they'll say, look, here's another place, another time to criticize Vince. For now, you know, we're just giving our condolences and thank you for, you know, making pro wrestling as big as it was today. Or that's what'll happen. Everybody be like, no, there's always another time to talk about that. For now, let's just be cool. It's the same thing when somebody kills themselves. You see it. I called it the formula a couple of years ago. I haven't brought it up lately because, you know, it's people are getting very tired of me talking about it. But that's the formula. Somebody commits suicide. Oh, we need to be better. We can't assume that the person on the other side of the computer has thick skin. We got to be better. Can we all just get along? Can we just be better? Or you get people, people shouldn't, you know, we got to be lighthearted. We got to enjoy each other. At the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans. We should all get along. You may like AEW, I may like WWE, but at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans, and we got to be better than that. And that lasts for a couple of weeks. And then, because you can't resist, the insult comes out in the form of a joke. Oh, no, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Oh, it's laugh, LOL, MFAF, MFAFO, LMAO, whatever it is, LMAO with lettuce and tomato, you know. Then you get away with that. Oh, let me throw another joke out there. Let me be a little bit more snide. And before you know it, it's right back to being the absolute assholes. Like, you know, I use the Summer 8 thing again. The Summer 8 thing. You know, everybody acting like assholes, making someone feel like absolute shit. You know, that's the formula. So when Vince goes, people say, look, there's another place, another time where we can evaluate, you know, what Vince did wrong. But for now, our thoughts and our prayers and our sincere condolences are with the entire McMahon family as they grieve for the passing of arguably the greatest wrestling promoter of all time, Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. May he rest in peace. 500 likes. Hey, everybody forgot it. I was such a dick for 15 years. That's what's going to happen. And probably that's what should happen. I'm just scoping out the chat room to see what discussions are going, because we're about to wrap this up. We're about to wrap this up. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 11:05, Mish and I will be here for Breakfast Soup Raw. We will talk about Raw. We will talk about whatever fallout that takes place because of WrestleMania. As we talked about earlier with Brock Lesnar, I hope they tease his opponent. I hope they tease that Brock Lesnar may choose Bobby Lashley. Milk that. Oh! It was in the title for tonight, and I didn't even bring it up. We got to bring it up now. Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins. You know, some of you actually wrote this yesterday, and I didn't think about it at first. And I was like, you know what? That makes a whole lot of sense. And I emailed someone who I trust, and I said, look, I think there's any chance that this could happen in Elimination Chamber. And the response that I got back about 2 hours before I went live is, your viewers are very intelligent. Seth Rollins may get a rematch against Roman Reigns in Elimination Chamber. That could very well happen. Do not misquote me on this. I'm not trying to break news here. It is something that is being discussed. That is news. And I know you have not probably heard or read that anywhere else. But some of you wrote that yesterday, and I was thinking, I said, you know, it's actually pretty damn smart. So when I emailed the person this morning, I said, you know, I think there's any chance that this could happen. You know, a few people brought this up, and it almost seems to make complete sense now. And that person said, your viewers are very intelligent. So we may actually get a rematch of Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins in Elimination Chamber. And that would be awesome. I wonder if it's false count anywhere, no disqualification. That is not something that was talked about yesterday, but I'm adding that to it. What do you all think about, because that almost makes sense now, because when you think about it, okay, Seth Rollins, you know, he won, but by disqualification. So they need to obviously get past Elimination Chamber so it's home free for Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar at Mania. But they got to get past Elimination Chamber first. You're not going to put Roman Reigns in the Elimination Chamber match. So Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins rematch for the Universal Championship, that could damn well happen at Elimination Chamber. And I hope that they go with the no DQ, because that is a stipulation that, you know, obviously Saudi Arabia would love, and we could have some wild ass finish. So Seth Rollins would obviously have to be pinned, but maybe it's under a crazy set of circumstances. So think that will happen. No, one fall. They're not going to do Roman versus Brock versus Seth. It's not a bad idea, man. It's not a bad idea, but you can't minimize Brock Lesnar's victory in the Royal Rumble by allowing Seth to be in it anyway. Unless they went a whole different route and Seth Rollins won Elimination Chamber. Because what would happen? Now, this is why I don't believe it's going to happen. What would happen if Seth Rollins won Elimination Chamber and he chooses Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar, who won the Royal Rumble, also chooses Roman Reigns? You know, how would they handle that? Would Adam Pearce, you know, in storyline, for the first time ever, two winners choose the same champion? Yeah, that could happen. But it makes Bobby Lashley look like shit. Makes him look like crap. The first analogy that comes to my mind almost immediately was when I was in Little League Baseball. I ended up winning a parish award in eighth grade. And, you know, I was the best player in the league. But the 3 years before that, I was horrible. And what would happen is they would pick the players, even when we did interest squad games, they would, or even with my friends, everybody would pick, you know, oh, I pick him. I pick him. And you go back and forth. And 20 players later, you still haven't been picked. And ultimately you get picked, but you feel like shit after, like, wow. You know, it was like their last choice. You don't want Bobby Lashley to look awful or look minimized because Seth Rollins winning a match and Brock Lesnar winning a match, they both want Roman. Even if the storylines make total sense, you're not going to insult Bobby Lashley like that. You don't give Bobby Lashley a night off either. That's insane. You don't do that. Yeah, Sam, I'm still going. Look, my original four matches, I said a couple of weeks ago, was Big E versus Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair, and Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. I am sticking with those four matches. I'm not changing it. And since we're having two nights, you know what I could see happening? I could see Bobby Lashley versus Big E happen on the same night as Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if that match closed out night one of WrestleMania. Or night two, but I think more night one. Night two would be Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns to close out night two. And if you think about that, you get the women to close out one night of the WrestleMania, and you get the men to close out the other. Oh, I'd love to see Seth Rollins become champion again. And I said it yesterday, and I'll repeat it now. It's cool to see people changing their views about Seth Rollins. I've always been a Seth Rollins fan. Yeah, it was very much tested during the Authority days and J&J. John! Oh, man. I mean, you know, still appreciated his ability, but man, some of that was awful. Corporate Kane, oh, painful, painful. Ledude, yes, much love again, much love. You know, a lot of people don't know, Ledude is Xylodemes. He is the gentleman with the Don Tony Rocks sign that was on AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage. Oh my God, dude. Ledude, oh my God, Ledude. You see how many people on social media that get so uptight and upset that somebody makes a sign for yours truly, gets front center camera, is displayed all night long, and, you know, it's pretty cool. And they all, oh, I wasn't on last night. You know, they don't retweet it. They don't comment about it. They don't throw a like your way. They just look the other way. Yet, those same shows, if somebody, God forbid, shows up on a TV show and puts a sign for them, it'll be fucking pinned. It'll be wallpapered. They will make sure that 10,000 people give love your way. You know, it's just that jealousy. And I think that all, you know, peaked in Saudi Arabia. When that Don Tony sign appeared in Saudi Arabia and got confiscated, I still remember that night that people who knew that the sign was intended for me were trying to play it off that it was intended for Tony Khan. Like when they write Don Tony, it's Don Tony as in Tony Khan is the godfather. Don Tony. They were forced to be corrected about it. It's awful, man. It's awful. But every time that happens, believe me, I tell you, in your sign, it made me feel really, really good. Always puts a tremendous smile on my face. Any of you out there, you ever go to any events, and it could be an indie show too, you know, you bring a sign for yours truly. I am always indebted and appreciative of that. It feels good. And let's be honest, maybe because I've been around so long, but let's be honest, with the exception of maybe Busted Open for the last 2 years, and yes, let's be honest, Busted Open for the last 2 years, we get a lot of love with signs at shows. But over the last 20 years, there's only one person that has had that many signs show up on TV, and that is me. There's at least, I have 135 different pictures saved from shows since 2006. I don't remember which year I started using the Don Tony name. I think it was either 05 or 06. But I have 135 different events that had the sign. And it's awesome, man. It's awesome. I one day will make a nice collage of it. And somehow make it out of a shirt. Make it out of a shirt. You like the pillow back there? See the pillow? Yeah, the pillow came in. This is the pillow. Comes in three sizes. This is the Don Tony Show pillow, 25 years since 1997. And that's the back of it. So, yeah. So we got the... You know why? You know what I always think about when I do this for like a thumbnail? I don't think I'm changing the thumbnail, but you know what I always think about? Who is that guy? And I know some of you have seen him. And I think we'll wrap it up with this. How many of you out there have ever seen that guy on YouTube that does the food reviews? I've never tried to impersonate him before. And this is not going to sound like him, but he'll always be like, this is Report of the Week, or this is Food Reviews. I am your host, the Report of the Week. You ever see that guy? Very, like, pasted back hair, nice suit, always reviewing food. You know, I just found out about him a couple of months ago, and I like the guy. He's actually not that bad. I mean, he takes his shit very, very seriously. I mean, he's always wearing a suit. Very, very specific. Using Bob Backlund-like words. Review bra. Yeah, review bra. He's got like 2 million followers. So, but, you know, I feel bad because you know he gets bullied big time. And I know sometimes I saw now some of his videos where he just reads comments about him and it gets brutal at times. I mean, it's people are freaking vicious, man. I've never seen him cook. We talking about the same child. Never saw him cook, but you know what's amazing about that guy? You know what's amazing about that guy? Oh, Mish is going to Dynamite. I didn't even talk to him yet. So if Mish is going to Dynamite Wednesday, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, that's right. Dynamite Chicago, MJF versus Punk. Shit. But Cruiserweight, I have no idea why I offended you yesterday. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, why? Because I said, you know, you're not a fan of women's wrestlers over the age of 30. I mean, you know, I have to segue it that way because when you comment on it, even on Super Chats, it's right there, you know, that you bring it up. So, you know, I don't know how else to put that. But my NXT 2.0, that's why I offended you? Oh, why? Because that the food analogy, we talked about that earlier. That's why I like NXT 2.0. I like to see the development of tomorrow. It's pretty cool. I mean, in baseball, you know, when you hear about, you know, Derek Jeter in the Yankees, you know, minor league organization, or even when I was much younger, when Daryl Strawberry was still in the minor leagues for the Mets, Dwight Gooden, when he, look, I still remember to this day when Dwight Gooden got called up in Houston Astrodome in 1984 and took on the Astros. I think he pitched like five or six innings and struck out seven batters. It was amazing. It was amazing. And we followed closely his development when they first signed him, how he was doing. It's pretty freaking cool to follow somebody from their beginnings and turning into major stars. Not everybody likes that. People just prefer to see somebody signed as a free agent from another team. You know, I personally feel everybody should have a right to like what they want to like, dislike what they want to dislike. And when it gets into territory that people put other people down because you don't agree with them, that's where it's messed up. Look, you think I'm stupid? I saw today people going out of their way to put other people down because they like the Royal Rumble. What are you, stupid? What are you, stupid? You see how people don't give a crap anymore about wrestling? They actually think it's good. And then we saw the opposite. Some people who hated the Royal Rumble yesterday, one of the worst of all time, they have a right to that opinion. And people, oh, this guy, he or she is an asshole. They have to put everything down. That's their right. It happens on both sides. Instead of just, okay, look, you liked it, I disagree. See, that's boring. It's boring. If I respond to someone, hey, I thought the Royal Rumble sucked. I thought it was the worst of all time. And I say to you, bro, I respect your opinion. Conversation over. I disagree with you, but, you know, I respect your opinion. That's kind of boring, right? No, you'd rather be like, what are you, fucking stupid? It was great. Or the opposite. I will not do that. Will not do that. All right. Antonio Jones, he bets that was an amazing time to be a kid with those Mets as the hometown team. Oh, it was awesome, man. I'm looking at it right now. I got to take a picture next time. You know what? Maybe I can do that. I mean, I can't obviously put the picture on the screen, but I could show you the phone. Yeah. Right now, I'm going to do this. Okay. I just took the picture. I mean, I'm not going to transfer it into the computer, but I'll put the phone up close. You see that? That goes all the way to my ceiling. I don't know if you can see this. I'm going to zoom in now. See the stickers? See that? This goes all the way from my floor to my ceiling. Those are baseball games. Those are baseball games. And I have every single one of them labeled. And I have thousands and thousands. Look, here. Who the hell would have 500 Mets games from 1990 to 1991? I have probably about 130 of their games from 1986. Ooh. Stupid me. I just looked over and saw the microphone. What I was saying, I'm sorry about that. What I was saying is, you know, being a Mets fan growing up is the reason why I started collecting games. And if you look, yeah, I'll show it again. If you look at the picture closely, all right, this goes from my floor to my ceiling. I know you really can't see it all that well, but if I zoom into it, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's 500 games or a little less than 500 games just between those two labels right there. All-Star Games, Mets 86, 87, and Special Games. I have thousands and thousands, and I have about 120 or 130 games from 86. So the mic should be good now, right? Should be good. Is the audio better now? I think it is. Looked like the levels are back to normal. And I bumped the mic. I didn't realize it, but you could still tell by the pictures. It was a lot of fun back then. But see, again, it it was so cool to see these players developing, and you couldn't wait to see them come to the main roster. But at the same time, though, you didn't want them to come up and bat only 200. Or you didn't want them to come up and get killed, you know, getting homers off of your hits, you know, the pitchers. So you wanted them to come to the major leagues and kick ass. Same thing with NXT 2.0. So, by the way, for anybody that was a Met fan in the 80s and the 90s, mostly the early 90s, you might remember a pitcher by the name of Jeff Innes. He died today, I believe, at the age of 59 from cancer. So, all right. Rolo went to Met games from 88 to 92. Frank Viola, yeah, sweet music, I think he was called back then. I remember Frank. Believe it or not, Frank Viola went to St. John's University. That was the college I was supposed to go to, but I cut out of school from the beginning and I never went. I lasted 2 weeks in St. John's University. In fact, I don't know how old he is now, but he obviously was there before me. But very, very well known in St. John's University, Frank Viola. So, all right. Let's wrap this up. So we went a little bit longer. By the way, you like my shirt? Like my shirt? Yeah, it's John Gotti, and that's New York. This was a shirt that I wanted to wear back in the day when I did the Don Tony stuff. It's just when you wear it with a suit jacket, it just doesn't look as good. The other one, because it's just black and white, it matched the suit perfectly. So, yeah. Everyone, have a good night. Be well, stay safe. I thank you, as always, for your support. I know we ended the poll early, but if you were a fan of WKRP growing up, in the comment section, just throw a word out there. Jennifer or Bailey? And Bailey is not spelled like Bailey that we see on SmackDown. It's spelled B-A-I-L-E-Y, I believe. You spell it any way you want. How's that? Jennifer or Bailey? From WKRP. For me, Bailey all the way. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you Monday night after Raw.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.